sarva kama.
Sarva kama.
Sudasaha. Sudasa was born. Tatputraha. The son of Sudasa. Damayanti Patakhi. The husband of Damayanti. Anripaha.
He became king.
Aho. It is said. Mitrasaham. Mitrasaha. Yambai. Also. Kama Sangrin. By Kama Shapada. Uta.
No.
Quachit. Sometimes. Vasishta
Shabbat,
being cursed by Vasishta.
Rakshaha,
a man. Abhut, became. Anapachaha, without any son. Swakarmana,
by his own sinful
act. So, translation. Sarvakama had a son named Sudasa, whose son, known as Sodasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Sodasa is sometimes known as Mitrasaha or Kama Shapada, which means like black spotted feet, actually. Because, and I'll explain why. Because of his own misdeed, Mitrasaha was sonless and was cursed by Vasishtha to become a man-eater, Rakshasa. So you can repeat, Sarvakama.
Had a son.
Named Sudasa. Whose son, known as Sodasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Sodasa is sometimes known as Mitrasaha. Or Kama Shabhada.
Because of his own misdeed,
Mitrasaha was sonless and was cursed by Vasishtha. Becoming mad, the Rakshasa. So, text 19, actually, no purport for a while. Text 19. Shri Rajavacha Kim Nimito Varhol Shapat Sodasya Mahatmanaha Eta Viditum Ichama Atam Naroho Yade. King Parikshit said, "Oh, Shivana Goswami, why did Vasishtha, that spiritual master Sodasa, curse that great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me." So text 20 to 21. Shri Shukavacha Sodaso Mrikayam Kinchit Charam Raksho Jaghanaha Umocho Vrataram Sota Gata patit chikir shiha sanchintiyan nakam ragya sura rupa daro grahe gurave moktu kamaya patwa dinye staras. Oops, what happened here? Okay. Patwa dinye naram sham. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Once, Sodasa went to live in the forest, where he killed a man-eater Rakshasa, but forgave and released the man-eater's brother. That brother, however, decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. One day, the king's spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, was invited for dinner, and the Rakshasa cooked, served him human flesh." Text 22. Parivekshya manam bhagavan vilokya vaksya manjasa vajanam ashapat krudo raksha yevam pavishyasi. While examining the food given to him, Vasishtha Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that it was unfit to eat. Being the flesh of a human being, he was very angry at this and immediately cursed Sodasa to become a man-eater. texts 23 to 24. Chakra Dvadasha Varshikam Sopya Ponjalim Adaya Gurum Shaptum Sadudhyataha Varato Marayani Varato Marayantyapu Nushati Parihor Jaho Tishakam Avadim Sarvam Pashanjivam Hayam Ripaha. When Vasishtha understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshasa, not by the king, he undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. Meanwhile, King Sudasa took water and chanted the Shapa Mantra, preparing to curse Vasishtha, but his wife Mariyanti forbade him to do so. Then the king saw that the 10 directions, the sky, and the surface of the globe were full of living entities everywhere. In other words, food. Text 25. Rakshasambhamamapana pade kalmasyatam gataha yavaya kale dadrishe avanukotam patidvajau. So Dasa thus acquired the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot for which he was known as Kalma Shapada. Once King Kalma Shapada saw a Brahmin couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Text 26 to 27.
Shudarta Jagrahe Vitram Patnyaha Gakardavat. Navavan Rakshasa Sakshat Yishvakunam Mahavataha Mariyantya Patir Vira Nadharmam Kartumarisi Dehi Me Patyakamaya Akritartham Patin Drisham.
Being influenced by the propensity of the Rakshasa and being very hungry, King Sudasa sees the Brahmana, then the poor woman, the Brahmana's wife, said to the king, "O Hira, you are not actually a man-eater. Rather, you are among the descendants of Maharaj Ikshvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Mariyanti. You should not act irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please, therefore, return my husband, who has not yet impregnated me." And finally, text 28.
Deho yam manusho manusho rajan purushasya kilarta daha tasmarasya vadhovira sarvarta vada uchite.
O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Śrīla Narottama Dasa Thakura, His son, hori hori vipale janma goinayana. Manushya janma bhaya Radhakrishna namajiya janya śrīya visha goinu.
The body of a human being is extremely valuable because in this body, one can understand the instructions of Krishna and attain the ultimate destination of the living entity. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. In the material world, one hankers for happiness. But because one does not know the ultimate destination, one changes bodies one after another. However, if one gets the opportunity to possess a human form of body, in this body he can fulfill the four principles of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And if one is properly regulated, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. This is the success of life, to stop the process of repeated birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead, Mahamiti, to be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, taking a human body is meant for completing one's progress in life. Throughout human society, killing of a human being is taken very seriously. Hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in the slaughterhouses, but no one cares about them. But the killing of even one human being is taken very seriously. Why? Because the human form of body is extremely important in executing the mission of life. So, Om Ganat Timidandasha Gananjana Shakya Chakshur Unmintam Yenatas Vai Shigarve Namaha. So, first a little history about this Hamashapada, which is quite interesting. He, of course, is in the dynasty, the same dynasty Lord Ramchandra appeared in, which is the Sun dynasty. And being a member of that dynasty is very exalted, and the spiritual master in that particular dynasty is generally Vasishtha Muni. And in this particular case of Kamashapada, Vasishtha Muni and his arch rival, Vishwamitra Muni, were fighting over who would be the guru. So, it's like sometimes in this country we have something called canvassing. You've heard of it before? People canvass. Will you be my disciple? Especially if the disciple happens to be a prospective disciple happens to be rich or famous or something like that, then there's some competition. That's not good. Actually, canvassing is not allowed in the Krishna consciousness. According to the ISKCON disciple course, one has a choice, you know, who they want to choose as spiritual masters. Now, you have to choose someone because they're in a particular location or because they happen to be the guru of your friend. It doesn't work like that. So anyway, so there was some competition. And Vasishtha Muni won the competition. And so Vishwamitra Muni, he was really fried to a crisp. And so he wanted to get even with Vasishtha Muni. So in order to do that, he arranged certain things. One thing is that this Kamalasapada, before he became Kamalasapada, he was out hunting, doing his kingly thing in the forest, and he came across one of the sons of Vasishtha Muni, his name was Shatri. And he was so tired, Kamalasapada was so tired from his activities of hunting. And Shatri was there, and they were both trying to go in different directions along, a mountain pass, where there was only room for one person to go at a particular time. So Kamalasapada, not observing the right etiquette, he actually said, "You move out of the way, guy." Which is actually not proper when you're dealing with a Brahmin or a Brahmin's son. And Shakti said, "No, you move out of the way, you're the king." So they were fighting back and forth. And ultimately, Kamalasapada lost it, and he hit Shakti with his whip, which is also not the best thing to do when you're dealing with a Brahmin or a devotee. And Shakti got so upset with him, he cursed him like that. So, you know, it's a combination of different curses. So, right, so he cursed him to become like low class, like a Rakshasa. This is the beginning of the curses. Then, so this story is in the Mahabharata. It's actually quite extensively told in the Mahabharata. So then, he didn't really succumb to the curse then. He was still fighting it off. At the same time, this Vishwamitra Muni was just like getting really happy that Kamalasapada was cursed, and he was encouraging the Rakshasas to take him over. So Kamalasapada was going on in the woods, and then he saw a tiger, and he killed the tiger. You know, obviously, Kshatriya is allowed to kill tigers because tigers are dangerous to human beings. So anyways, he killed the tiger. That tiger happened to be a Rakshasa. And his brother was also there with two tigers. Now we're coming up to the Bhagavatam story. So he killed a Rakshasa, not knowing it was a Rakshasa. He killed it thinking it was a tiger. Okay. So he killed the tiger, was a Rakshasa, and the Rakshasa's brother got ready to attack Kamasapada, and Kamasapada defeated him, and the Rakshasa's brother was forgiven by Kamasapada. And so that Rakshasa's brother, this is described here, became the cook to get even in Kamasapada's kitchen. So he was cooking somehow or other, and then Vasishtamuni came, who was the guru of Kamasapada. He came to eat prasadam, or came to eat whatever he was going to eat. And this Rakshasa, who was now the cook, arranged to feed him meat, human meat. So then, this is what's being talked about here. Then Vasishtamuni gets very angry, understanding it's human meat, and curses his disciple fully to become a Rakshasa. So then the curse starts to have complete effect at this particular juncture. And Kamasapada, getting angry at his guru, knowing that he's really not at fault, picks up some water, puts some water in his palm to curse his guru. And his wife says, no, this is not appropriate. But the water is already imbued with the power of a curse. So he's thinking, a very interesting story, he's thinking, what can I do with this water? You know, I can't curse my guru because my wife has told me not to. That's where the wife is more intelligent than the husband. So I can't curse the guru. I can't throw it in the air because it will cause some disaster in the natural weather patterns. Can't throw it on the earth because there'll be a drought. What do I do? So he threw it on his feet. And that's where he has the wife's positive seat. Interesting. Anyway, that's why he's called Kamasapada. So more of the story. So anyway, so he becomes completely right, like a Rakshasa. And before he eats this brahmana, as described here in the Bhagavatam, he goes to Satri, who is one of the sons of Vasishtamuni, and he eats him. And not only that, then he gets so angry at his guru that he eats all of his guru's sons, 100 sons. I guess he has a Sunday feast or something like that. He's 100 sons of Vasishtha. So this is all part of the story. And the story is told in many of the Puranas. The story is told in the Ramayana, and it's also told in the Mahabharata. So quite extensive, because it involves the larger context of the conflict between Vasishtamuni and Viswamitramuni. And I've told that story many times before, where Viswamitramuni is very angry at Vasishtamuni because he wasn't able to take the Nandini, the desire cow. So anyway, and then his children are killed, and then he kills Vasishtamuni. So anyways, that's the larger context of this particular story that's told in the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. So ultimately, what happens after he kills and eats the sons of Vasishtamuni, Vasishtamuni gets extremely depressed. And Vasishtamuni tries to kill himself. Because, you know, someone kills all your children, it's not exactly something that you go home and are joyful about. So he jumps off Mount Meru. Prabhupada also told this story. So, you know, that's a good way to kill yourself. You jump off Mount Meru. Mount Meru is quite high. Does anyone remember how high? Anyway, like hundreds of yojas is high or something like that. I mean, really high. And he jumps off Mount Meru, and then on the ground there's like feathers and a pillow to catch. So he's completely determined to kill himself. Another time he says, I gotta commit suicide. This is too much. You know, I can't stand this fight. And it's interesting because he always maintains his Brahminical status of not counter-cursing Viswamitramuni. Whereas Viswamitramuni is trying to get even with him. He's actually completely rooting for Kalamashapada. And he's actually telling the Rakshasa, he's controlling him, I guess, through his mental power, yogic powers. He's controlling. This shows envy, actually. I mean, this is really the epitome or the quintessential envy. So he's controlling the Rakshasa, who is controlling Kalamasapada. Wow, just see how envious. anyway, so getting on with the story. So this Vishishtha Muni tries to commit suicide by entering into fire. So he makes a big pyre and he goes into the fire, and the fire becomes like ice. So he's, you know, all these suicide attempts. Of course, in those days they didn't have guns because it wasn't America. And they didn't have, you know, submachine guns or anything like that. Things were quite simple. So then another time he wants to jump into a river with crocodiles in it. So he jumps into the river with crocodiles, and the river, not wanting to harm him, goes out to like 1,000 branches. And that river is still there in India today, and I forget the name of that river. It means the river with 1,000 branches. Then he goes into the ocean, and he ties a rock on himself to kill himself. You know, like the mafia do, you know, lead boots or something like that, or concrete boots. And so, but somehow the ocean carries him to the shore, so he's unable to kill himself, and he's really frustrated. Finally, he hears his son's voice, or something sounds like his son's voice. There's the widow of Saktri, who was the original person who was eaten by Koma Sapada. So he hears his son's voice coming from his widow, or Saktri's widow, and he understands it's the son of his son, and he becomes happy, or at least I have grandchildren like that. And eventually, you know, long story, make a long story short, he does free Kama Sapada from the curse, and they live happily ever after. But before that, we have the story that's told here in the Bhagavatam. Kama Sapada comes across this Brahmana and his wife and gave him sexual affairs, and eats the Brahmin. And the wife of the Brahmin, eventually, as we're going to read here in the chapter, she gets so angry that not only does she explain to him some philosophy, but she curses him that whenever he wants to have, he cannot have a relationship with his wife. And so as a result, later on, as explained in the Bhagavatam, Vishishtha Muni is the one who has a relationship with Kalmasapada's wife, and the dynasty continues. Anyway, so as far as the topic of this last verse, this is a common topic that's talked about in many places in Srila Prabhupada's books, that is the importance of the human form of life. And we can refer to Prahlad Maharaj's instructions in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his schoolmates on the importance of the human form of life. Because his schoolmates are talking about, or making excuses why they can't be Krishna conscious. And one of the main excuses is that, you know, we're kids. That's one of the excuses. And Prahlad Maharaj basically says to them in this famous verse, you know, Koma Ramacharet Pragil Dhanam Bhagavadangya Dunabhad Manasa Janma Tadaktarugam Artanam. He says to them that, you're always going to have excuses. Now you're going to say that you're kids, later on you're going to say you're teenagers, and you got to play with your mobile phones. And later on, I'm just adding a little modern humor to it. And later on you're going to say, you know, you just got married, you got to work. And later on you're going to say, we have to take care of the children, grandchildren. And then later on I'm retired, I've got to play golf, video games nowadays. And so you always have excuses. So he says, better take up Krishna consciousness from the very beginning. In other words, as Prabhupada would say, don't waste any time. Because every moment is valuable. For millions of dollars, Prabhupada said, you cannot buy back a single moment of time. So any time wasted, that's not contributing to your Krishna consciousness. You're misusing your human form of life. It's very difficult to get this human form of life, because as we know, there's many living entities in this room, and of course I'm not referring to any of you when I say that there's millions of subhumans or non-human entities in the room. You have little creatures, bugs in the air. And so we're a very rare species, actually endangered, because a real human is one who engages in self-realization. And actually, even there's 400,000 species of human life, right? And some of them are basically not so capable of Krishna consciousness or pursuing Krishna consciousness. So they're very, very rare. Another place in the Bhagavatam, in Lord Rishabhadeva's teachings, you have the famous verse in the fifth canto, Nayam Bolo Deha Bhajan Riloke, Riloke, Kastam Kamam Harate, Vidbushabye, Tapo Divyam Putrapanyeta Sakvam Chudyajyasmad, Brahmashokya Tunantam. He says to his sons, he has 100 sons. And he says to his sons, Nayam Deha, you've taken this rare human birth, Bhajan Riloke. Kastam Kamam Harate, Vidbushabye. So don't, basically, don't act like a pig. Actually, Vibhujam means a stool eater, which is a pig. But there's many animals that eat stool. Even dogs eat stool. Dogs are known to eat stool, so when they kiss you, you know, you're getting a very sushi kiss. So, anyway, so people like to keep dogs. So, custom gamamadite vidbhujamye, but you're meant to engage in, again we have this description, tapo divyam, transcendental austerity, putrakanyena sabhagya. And in this way, not only will you realize the purpose of the human form of life, but actually you will be happy. Kastam kamam harte vidbhujamye. Tapo divyam putrakanyena sabhagya. That means you understand or experience great transcendental happiness. So this is very important for us to realize, because we've taken human bodies, we have the chance for self-realization, so we should minimize insofar as possible the four animal propensities. And this is a common theme Prabhupada mentions again and again and again, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Minimize them and maximize Krishna consciousness. That's the whole point of austerity. Like the point of eating very little or even following a codicil or whatever is to maximize the process of bhakti and minimize other things. So, anyway, this is what we have wanted to talk about today. An interesting story with Kama Shapada, isn't it? I mean, it's very interesting. That's the same story told in Mahabharata, Ramayana, Vishnu Purana, and the Bhagavatam. So any questions or comments about Kalmashapada or the human form of life? No? Yes. Aditya.
So why is human form of life considered so important compared to other animals in terms of like consciousness?
You know, in terms of the ability to discriminate. Like the animals, they do not have the ability to discriminate. They're functioning more or less on the basis of impulse. Impulse means, you know, like we say generally about a dog, you know, a dog sees something, he either wants to have sex with it or pass you in on it or make friends with it to get, and it's just impulsive. And of course, a dog can also be very protective, can also be very loyal, but it's actually something that's just built in the genes. Like you see in the dogs, different species of dogs, they have different characteristics, isn't it? Like if you want a dog that's going to be real vicious, you get a pit bull. And if you want a dog that's going to be very obsequious, what do you get? I don't know, a cocker spaniel or something. And if you want a dog that'll bite his own master, then you get a chihuahua. So anyway, there's certain species, it's genetically. So of course, genetically, we have certain impulses too, but we can counter those impulses utilizing intelligence. Like Prabhupada said, intelligence is the form direction of super soul. So we study, that's why what we're doing is called Buddhi Yoga. Yoga means to connect, Buddhi means with intelligence, discrimination, because we have impulses to do different things. I mean, all of us. Sometimes we get angry, you know, we have an impulse, you want to punch someone in the mouth. But we don't do it. Why don't we do it? Because we understand in Krishna consciousness, or at least even if you're just following ordinary morality, you use your intelligence, you understand it's not proper. so you don't do it, or you'll get in trouble. But you find, of course, nowadays, like if you read about all these men that are being accused of abusing the women or misusing their positions in society, they're not really controlling their impulses. So human beings have the ability to impulse control. Now, we may want to do a lot of things, the mind may want to do a lot of things, but the intelligence, which is the form of direction of the super soul, knows that it's not important for Krishna consciousness. I mean, just like in the morning, I wake up early in the morning because I know it's productive for Krishna consciousness. The mind is saying, stay in bed. You know, it's like singing the song. You know the song? Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I hate to get up out of bed. You know, you heard that song?
No? From the 50s.
From the 50s, sorry. I'm a year old, but you know what so, so the mind is singing that song in the morning, but the intelligence knows. And so the dog doesn't have that ability to know that self-realization, well, it's time to wake up and bark. So that's the difference. We can control the senses and engage in, of course, bhakti with our heart and our mind and our intelligence. So, yeah.
I just had a, so a part of that is, so the super soul has given higher intelligence to human beings as a gift.
Well, Krishna has arranged that. I mean, the body itself, the gross body, has, you know, examine the brain is different. It's not a question of the size of the brain. You know, sometimes people say, if you have a bigger brain, but it's actually more interconnections in the brain. Yeah, so it's not just the size. It's the different parts of the brain, the interconnections, like that. You know, even if someone has a smaller brain, we don't say they're less intelligent.
Smaller chip is better.
What?
Smaller chip is better. Make everything smaller.
Hare Krishna. So, yes.
But it's in the comments of Hare, you know, we're talking about him being able to regulate himself. He wasn't doing a very good job anymore.
No, he wasn't. Because it was cursed. In other words, if we commit an offense, that's actually an interesting question you raised. So we commit an offense against a great devotee, which he did, because it actually started with his offense against Kshatriya. That's why I told that story. Then we actually lose the ability to control. Arvatam gyanin tena gyaninam ichpaya kamanu pena kontiya. Then our intelligence becomes, we lose our intelligence. Therefore we have to be very careful. If we commit an offense against the devotee, then we lose our intelligence. Or the ability to control the senses becomes so strong. They just overwhelm us. Combination, correlation. Okay, on that happy note.